I made a mental count and found out that in 1 week, I regularly use no less than 15 keys. And most of you probably use less, or a few probably use more, but all of us use keys for different keyholes, padlocks, doorknobs, my motorbike, my car, pangarap lang yon. But all of us use keys, and every key matches a specific keyhole. At yung nagagawa ng key, kaya siya merong exact na keyhole, those declensions and rising of the blade of the key matches what is inside the keyhole so that it opens to that particular key. Well, last week we compared Ecclesiastes to a jigsaw puzzle that we need to construct. Now I will compare it to a keyhole. And we need to find the right key with the right rising and declension in order that it may match that keyhole. In a jigsaw puzzle, we said you need a final picture to give an idea of how to place the interlocking pieces. Para ma-solve mo yung puzzle, at least alam mo dapat ano yung final picture. And we tried to do that last Sunday based on the identity of the writer, not so much as to who he actually was. Some say Solomon, there are issues why it cannot be Solomon, but be that as it may, it is the function of the writer that is important. He calls himself Koheleth, Ecclesiastes, and scholars agree that this man, in terms of function, is one who addresses an assembly. And I accept the old translation, preacher. He is a preacher, and the situation is that of a preaching assembly. So the reason why many find difficulties in Ecclesiastes is because they think the final picture is that of a philosopher or a cynic who is giving up on life and on its puzzles. But when we realize that the person and the final picture involved is that of an assembly where a preacher is addressing that assembly, then you begin to realize that there is something deeply profound about this book. It's not cynical. And another thing that we used last week is class it to a type of literature known as wisdom literature. It is a type of literature whose main thrust is wisdom. And so we combined together these two things and we got the idea of the final picture. The preached word is for wisdom in an earthly life of sorrow. Yan ang gustong sabihin dito ng mangangaral, ng preacher. Dito sa Ecclesiastes, anuman yung kapanglawan sa mundo ay merong karunungan na angkop para sa kapanglawan ng tao sa mundo. Now, we use a different figure now, that of a keyhole, and we want to find the right key that will match that keyhole. We need that key. And that key is in the form of a keyword that is used in the book. Now, everybody agrees that it is the keyword. But after that initial agreement, interpreting the meaning of the word becomes complicated business. I invite you to turn once again to our opening verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, let's read verses 1 to 3. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? Now jump to chapter 6, verse 12, and I'll tell you the significance of this verse in a while. Chapter 6, verse 12. For who knows what is good for man in life? All the days of his vain life which he passes like a shadow. Who can tell a man what will happen after him under the sun? And then finally, chapter 12, verse 8, which is, again, scholars agree, is the conclusion of this book, followed by the epilogue, verses 9 and following. But let's just read chapter 12, verse 8. It simply repeats what we already encountered in the opening. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. So here is the key word. Everybody agrees. Vanity. Not only is the fact that it is encountered again and again But one other trivia about this book is that, you know, sa Hebrew, Hebel, my Hebrew professor in seminary would insist that I pronounce it like the Hebrew. So, Hebel. Yun ang kanyang keyword. Now, in Hebrew alphabet, wala silang different symbol for numbers. What they use are their letters for their numbers. Now, the word Hebel in numerical value is 37. Now, guess how many times the word occurs in Ecclesiastes? 37 times. And it seems that the writer exactly determined that he will make that the keyword. Not only that, he determined that he will use it exactly by its numerical value, 37 times. So everybody agrees. When you read the book of Ecclesiastes continually, there is no dispute that this is the keyword. But having agreed that this is the keyword, what does that mean? Now, the determination of the meaning goes haywire as far as scholars are concerned. Dito napakarami ang mga disagreement. The old translation is vanity. Now, most modern translations have adopted the word meaningless. If you use the NIV and other translations, you will encounter that most modern translations use the word meaningless. So when you read vanity of vanities, they will translate it like meaningless. All is meaningless. And for many years, as a young preacher, I have adopted the same view. But then as I try to use this word meaningless, apply it to a number of passages in Ecclesiastes, the sense becomes, well, meaningless. And because of that, I have changed my position on this. And when I changed my position and found what I believe to be the real sense, brethren, it was liberating. The book of Ecclesiastes has become so much more precious to me when I understood what Hebel, what vanity really means. Here, the writer would often allude to the value of something, but because of other considerations, he says it's vanity. It's Hebel. Now, to understand it as meaningless would contradict the writer's initial commendation. Ibig sabihin, may sinasabi siyang maganda tungkol sa wealth, may sinasabi siyang maganda tungkol sa mirth, sa pleasure, may sinasabi siyang maganda lalo na tungkol sa wisdom. But after saying that, when he makes other considerations, he will then say vanity. Now, could that mean meaningless? I don't think so. He's saying something else. Not meaningless, but because of other considerations, it becomes vanity. Now, let me give you first my message, and then I will explain what I believe the meaning of this word is. The message is this. Without God, all earthly answers are beset with unavoidable brevity and inexplicable mystery. Kung wala ang Diyos, lahat ng sagot sa mundo ay laging matatagpuan na o masusumpungan natin na masyadong maikli at masyadong mahiwaga. Kung wala ang Diyos, lahat ng kasagutan sa mundo ay masyadong maikli, masyadong mahiwaga. Without God, all earthly answers are beset with unavoidable brevity and inexplicable mystery. Now, the range of meanings of the word Hebel is broad, but in its most literal usage, it refers to vapor or breath. Yung literal niyang kahulugan ay singaw o kaya hininga. And the basic sense, therefore, is that of brevity. The first Hebel in the history of the Bible is Abel. What a very brief life. At least very brief passage in the Bible. Then listen to Psalm 39 verse 5. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor. And the word vapor is Hebel. And what the psalmist is saying in Psalm 39:5 is how brief his life is. It's just like singaw. It's just like kininga. Wala na. The sense is the brevity of life. Now, from brevity, by extension, the meaning can then be that which is without sense, without solution, without answer. Now, I say that these are the two senses that we properly understand Hebel or vanity in Ecclesiastes. If you turn to our old reliable whiteboard, wala muna tayong LCD, this is the structure of Ecclesiastes that I am adapting. It is divided into two large sections, and the dividing line is 6:12. Now, before 6:12, the issue is, what good is there to be enjoyed? And he tries answers to that question. What good is there to be enjoyed? And he comes to this key expression in this first section of Ecclesiastes. It is like chasing after the wind, or grasping after the wind. Now, after 6:12, the question becomes, what knowledge is there to find out? And it becomes one key word in that section, find out how you can tell. And the phrase now becomes under the sun. And chapter 6, verse 12 contains both. So before 6:12, vanity takes the meaning of brevity. After 6:12, it extends to the meaning of mystery. So let me divide then my message into these two points. First, brevity of what could be happiness on earth. And second, mystery of what could be knowledge of life. So brevity of what could be happiness on earth. You see, this is what is inadequate with the translation meaningless. The writer is not saying that at all. He is not saying that pleasure or mirth or wealth, especially wisdom, are meaningless. That's not his point. We can rightly enjoy the things of this world. That's the point of the famous line in Ecclesiastes, there is a time for everything. Hindi niya sinasabing there is a time for everything, pagkatapos sasabihin niyang meaningless. It just doesn't make sense. What is wrong is not the thing in and of itself considered, but that if nothing more than that, it will prove so brief. Hindi niya sinasabing walang saysay ang karunungan, ang yaman, ang kaligayahan. Ang sinasabi niya, kung yun lamang, napakaikli. Why? Well, here is the point. The reality of death makes any happiness all too brief, and without God, a mere illusion. Now, let me repeat that. The reality of death makes any happiness all too brief, and without God, a mere illusion. Yung katotohanan ng kamatayan ay ginagawang anumang kasayahan na napakaikli at kung walang Diyos, isa lang illusion, isa lang guni-guni. So when the writer turns to things like wealth, pleasure, and especially wisdom, he did not intend to say that these things were meaningless. It seems weird to me now that I took this position meaningless for so long. For example, he surveyed in chapter 2 the accomplishments of his regime as a ruler, the public works, for example, that he has accomplished. And he says this, or he concluded in this way, chapter 2, verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had done and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. Now, was he saying all that he has done was meaningless? Well, again, I don't think so. He has just commended what he has done, what good he has done in his regime, but then other considerations entering the picture. It is brief. It is grasping for the wind. So it would be senseless for him to say it was meaningless. But now, see how it comes to its sense when it is understood as all too brief. Indeed, it's like chasing the wind. Now that very key phrase, chasing the wind, helps in establishing that sense. It's not meaningless. Now, have you seen the movie Twister? It is about a group of scientists whose passion is to study tornadoes. I mean, I would not come any kilometer near those people, but that's their passion. Now, you would not tell those people that their chasing after tornadoes is meaningless. But then, it is right to say that that's a kind of job that is for the fast. chasing tornadoes, studying tornadoes. Now, this is the word that the writer uses. It's like chasing the wind. Parang naghahabol ng hangin. Hindi meaningless ang kanyang sinasabi. Ang sinasabi niya ay napakabilis. Napakaikli. He applies this, for example, again to a king who ruled well. He probably studied his predecessors. I told you last week one of the reasons why it is problematic that this is Solomon was because he was referring to several, many predecessors by implication. He studied some of his predecessors and probably he focused on one king who ruled well, and this could be applied to other ventures of good leadership. But afterwards, he says in chapter 4, verse 16, there was no end of all the people over whom he was made king, yet those who came afterward will not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and grasping for the wind. Now, for the word vanity, put meaningless, and it will be meaningless. But put brief, it makes sense. Here is a good king, he ruled well, but after that regime, people continued on and probably have forgotten about that king, have forgotten his ideals. And so the writer, observing that pattern, says, there was that good king, good leadership, but all too brief. It's like chasing the wind. So we ask the question, what is that consideration which gives you a sense of all too brief? Whether that's happiness or wealth or wisdom, even if you have those things, what makes it too brief? The answer is, it crashes always on a dead-end wall called death. Ano man yan, lagi siyang uumpog sa isang pader na tinatawag nating kamatayan. Masayang-masaya man, o ikaw ay magpakadalubhasa, ano man ang matamu mo dito sa mundo, ngunit kung yun lamang, you crash on this wall. And so even if you're wise, which to the writer is the best thing in life, but what does he say? We encountered it already last week, 2:16. There is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever, since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die? As the fool. So you see, even if there is an advantage of the wise over the fool in this life, both of them crash on the wall that is called death. And so the wisdom of the wise is all too brief for him compared to the fool. There is meaning to a happy life on earth. Ecclesiastes, in fact, recognizes that enjoyment is a gift of God. Listen to 5:19. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. So it's a wrong proposition, as many think, that the writer is condemning wealth itself or happiness itself or wisdom itself. No, he's saying it's good. And if you can enjoy it, it's God's gift. But when you don't rise more than that object of your enjoyment, you will crash on the same wall and you will find that it is all too brief. And so without God, you are revolving your life upon an illusion. Kapag wala kang Diyos, hindi ka nakasentro sa Diyos, meron kang yaman o meron kang karunungan, o ikaw ay masaya sa iyong buhay, ngunit wala kang Diyos, umiinog ang buhay mo sa isang bagay na magpapatunay lang na isang ilusyon. It will prove to you, but an illusion. Education is good. Success in your career is good. But if that is all, what then when you find yourself crashing on this unavoidable wall? The educated man may live on his house, the memorabilia of his wisdom. The rich man may build a mausoleum for his remains. But what advantage really is that? Whenever I go to Kalawag, pag pumupunta ako sa Kalawag, laging naagaw yung attention ko pagdating sa bayan ng Sariaya. kasi may nadaraanan doong sementeryo. At yung nakikita kong isang malapit sa gate ay nakasulat, Musuleo Espinosa. Kahit na ako'y antok na nagigising ako. And it reminds me, someday I'll be that. But what advantage really is it? If you have a mausoleum, a monument to your name, for all the memorabilia and the structures to your name, your dead body is in the same state of decay as everyone with no memorabilia, no structures to their name. You will just be like them unless beyond all those things you accomplish, you have God. And that's the point of the writer here, what wisdom he is sharing. That's why instead of a cynic that he is often portrayed to be, Ecclesiastes is a preacher with a mission to challenge. And the challenge is live with the thought of dying. And therefore, live for what you will not abandon at death. Mabuhay ka na iniisip mong ikaw ay mamamatay at kapag meron kang ganyang pananaw, mamumuhay ka para doon sa mga bagay na hindi mo iiwanan sa iyong kamatayan. And this is not a calling to be a monk and live behind the world, live behind the world and isolate oneself in a monastery. In fact, this is the practical effect of the sense of Hebel as meaningless. Eh, parang gusto mong iwanan ng lahat kung lahat pala ay meaningless. And that's not what the writer is saying. Yes, it's meaningful. There is purpose to that. It's enjoyable and it's legitimate enjoyment. But if that is all, you have no God, and death comes crashing, what then? Ano nang mangyayari? So enjoy life on earth properly and proportionately. But if alone, you will find it all too brief and disappointing. I even go further. That alone, without God, you will discover happiness to be illusion. It's the same illusion that a certain Juan Ponce de Leon, Puerto Rico's first governor, thought he found a fountain of youth in Florida in the year 1513. He searched for it long and hard. And when he finally thought he found it in Florida, the inhabitants thought they came to conquer them, and that evening that they landed, they were all killed. It's the same illusion. Nakita na niya yung fountain of youth, yung palang magiging mitsa ng kanyang madaliang kamatayan. Iniisip niya, eto na, babata ako, hahaba ang aking buhay. Yun ang pumatay sa kanya. Well, brethren, some think this is morbid. To think of your dying. Well, the wisdom of confronting the reality of dying is the point of Ecclesiastes. Some think it is depressing, a killjoy to happiness. For Ecclesiastes, this is the way to a realistic as opposed to an illusory enjoyment of life. Yes, enjoy life, but think that you will die. Go ahead and be the best you can be in your school, but think that you will die. Enjoy legitimate forms of enjoyment and entertainment, but realize that you will die. And this is what will temper any enjoyment of anything in this world, any quest for accomplishments in your career, any ascendancy of wisdom in your education, anything of that sort, however legitimate, however rightly placed, put death in it and it will temper your enjoyment of everything as it must. And here the Puritans of the 16th and 17th centuries England excelled in this conscious preparation for dying. It was a time of frequent epidemics with no good medicine. Longevity, that is, life expectancy was at 40. And back then, people prepared to die. Richard Baxter, one of the best Puritans, one of the most prolific writers, wrote one of his treatises for himself, Dying Thoughts. There he, as a masterful Puritan alone can do, he searched every corner, every angle, and every argument on how to die well. And by dying well, they meant dying so that you glorify Christ in your approach to death. So here then is what the book of Ecclesiastes is trying to say. Think of the brevity of happiness. It's not meaningless, but it's brief. There must be something more than your wisdom. There must be something more than your wealth. There must be something more than your mirth. And that something more is God. The second point is mystery of what could be knowledge of life. Now, after 6:12, the sense of Hebel takes on the extended meaning of something that is without solution. And there are two key phrases in this section. One phrase is to find out, or it's negative, not to find out. And the second phrase is under the sun. And this time, the quest for answers always seems to fall short because of something beyond dying. Nun sa una, because of death. Sa ikalawa, something beyond dying. And my point now is to say that the eternity of life makes any answer too elusive, and without God, a delusion. The eternity of life, and I don't mean eternal life, I mean the continuing existence even after death. The eternity of life makes any answer too elusive, and without God, a delusion. Ano mang sagot dahilan sa kawalang hanggan, ano mang kasagutan ay laging lalampas. At kung wala ang Diyos, isang daya lamang. Again, just like that, Ecclesiastes did not intend to say that enjoyment of things were meaningless, so he did not intend to say that every answer found is wrong and useless. Rather, what he is saying is, when we try to find out anything, we only get part of the answer. But our propensity or our tendency is to make it the whole answer. Ang problema natin, kapag tayo nagsaliksik, may nakikita tayong bahagi ng sagot. Pero ang ginagawa natin yun na ang buong sagot. We got a demonstration of that this morning sa ating Sunday school. Scientists who find some part of the answer, but then they make conclusions beyond their realm. They make their half answer to be the whole answer. At ito ang pinababala ng Ecclesiastes. He is not saying you can never find out anything. He's saying that what you find out, if you don't relate to eternity, is only half. It's only part of the answer. And this is the significance of that other phrase in this part of the book, under the sun. You only see under the umbrella of the sun. It is a small scale, even by the standards of our galaxy. Now add millions more in space. Add beyond them all. And this is what the writer shares as the puzzles of life. He is puzzled by misfits, which are facts of life. Listen, for example, in chapter 10 and 6 and following, folly is set in great dignity, while the rich sit in a lowly place. I have seen servants on horses while princes walk on the ground like servants. Ang sinasabi niya rin ay misfit, hindi angkop. Nakikita mo yung mga politiko na wala naman talagang hangaring mabuti para sa lipunan, pero matatayog ang kanilang naaabot. Samantala yung mga nagsisikap talaga at mahangarin nila ay bangkabayan, ay hindi makarating sa kapangyarihan. And you see all these puzzles in life, in society. For our part, we might observe good and decent people are manipulated by corrupt politicians. These are puzzles that fill our lives from day to day. And so we are bombarded with whys. How come? And when we try to find out the answer from purely earthly perspective, from purely under the sun, we get a half-truth. And when you try to make that the whole truth, you get a painful delusion. What then is the book trying to say? The challenge is, we can leave some puzzles of life unanswered as long as we have the answers for eternity. You follow that? We can leave some puzzles of life unanswered as long as we have the most important answer to eternity. Pwede nating pabayaan ng wag nang masagot yung mga palaisipan ng buhay. Ngunit ang mahalaga ay may sagot tayo sa pangwalang hanggan. Kaya yung may sagot sa pangwalang hanggan, para sa Ecclesiastes ay mas marunong pa kaysa isang siyentipiko na kaya niyang sagutin ang lahat ng mga bagay tungkol sa mga organismo. He may answer those things, but he does not know eternity. Whereas a simple man who's not had the education he had, yet can answer eternity, he's wiser. And that's the point of Ecclesiastes. And so Ecclesiastes is not a philosophical treatise of a know-it-all pretender. Rather, he shares his pains from life's mysteries. Binabahagi niya yung mga nararamdaman niyang bigat, sakit sa mga misteryo ng buhay. At hindi niya pinipilit sagutin. And that's just the point. When you see puzzles in life, the way Job was puzzled why a righteous man is suffering, the moment his friends tried to answer in an all-competent pretension, that's when the problem began. And that's also when problems begin to us, when we try to pretend answers to what is meant to be left unanswered, because we can cast ourselves upon our eternal God. So here then is the painful puzzle, the conundrum, meaning yung masakit na palaisipan. All a life that is all too brief. A life that is full of sorrows and yet brief. And sometimes you seek for a happy ending. But the real happy ending is eternity with God. And that is the point of Ecclesiastes. Do you know that Einstein's brain is well preserved? But then it has done the good it could, and the mysteries are still there. And Einstein might have solved many things, but not everything. Here then is the key to the interpretation. Accept the hebel of everything. The brevity on the one side, you wish that that brevity will happily end, but the real happy ending, as you might wish, is when your wisdom, when your mirth, or even your wealth are all connected to God. In other words, when your brevity, when your death is prepared for eternity. This is not something you encounter only in libraries. We are not dealing here with a philosophical thought. You encounter it day by day in the street. This point of Ecclesiastes. When you want an answer and nothing is forthcoming, and you leave it to God. I think it was last Wednesday when I saw the news of that suicide bombing in Pakistan, in Peshawar, and of a Filipina fatality. It didn't ring a bell to me. The following day, early morning, I got a text from my oldest student, Ernesto So. He's not a pastor, but such was the respect we accorded him. We all call him Pastor So. I got a text from him informing me of how UNICEF, for which the woman who died worked, UNICEF confirmed to him of the passing away of his daughter as a victim of that suicide bombing. And I thought, an 80-year-old man does not deserve that kind of pain. But what struck me most, as painful as that was, Pastor Saw's text about his daughter's death began with the words, "The Lord gave and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And it ended with the Latin words, "Soli Deo Gloria." In between is the news of his daughter's dying. And he said that she has gone home to be with her real father. And I thought, that's faith. I'm sure he had no answer. Why? He had his whys. No answer. But he can rest it upon the Lord. And I challenge you to have that kind of faith. Not one that pretends an answer to everything, but a faith that accepts the brevity of life, yet one that is prepared for eternity. Let us sing our last hymn. The God, the Rock of Ages, whoevermore has been, what time the tempest rages, our dwelling place serene. It is a reminder of how brief this life is. Our years are like the shadows on sunny hills that lie. Verse 3 says, "O thou who canst not slumber, whose light grows never pale, teach us our right to number our years before they fail." And this is the wisdom that Ecclesiastes is trying to share to us. The wisdom that is there in the keyword, Hebel, brevity, the mystery of life. The answer is in our God. Let's close in prayer. Maraming salamat, Panginoon, sa susing salita na ito na aming pinag-aralan, na nagbibigay ng tunay na karunungan na nakalagay sa aklat ng Ecclesiastes, na itinuturo ang kaiklian ng buhay. At kung wala kaming Diyos, ang kaiklian na yun ay maglalagay lamang sa ilusyon ng aming mga tinatangkilik, at gawin din ang hiwaga ng buhay na kung wala kaming Diyos, ang lahat ng sagot namin ay magiging daya lamang sa aming sarili. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help us understand life as it really is, that we are given many things to enjoy legitimately, proportionately, and we thank you for these things. And yet, without God, they will prove all too brief. And without God, a mere illusion of happiness. And so we pray, Lord, for those who probably here are revolving their lives upon happiness, upon the pursuit of wealth, probably upon career or education. And no matter what success they find, without God, it will just be brief. And it will prove no advantage at death. For when they die, they will die just like those who are without education, without wealth, without happiness. May we be brought to the realization that what gives sense to all of this is a life that is under God, under our Creator. And again, it will just be mystery apart from the answer that comes beyond the sun, and not just under the sun. And so we pray then that we would gain wisdom from what Ecclesiastes is trying to preach and share, that we are not meant to have all the answers, that when we encounter painful puzzles in our day-to-day and no answer is forthcoming, we do not need those answers. Humble us when we are too proud to insist. Humble us so that we may accept our lot, that of limited creatures who must depend upon our God. We thank you, Lord, that through the wisdom of your word, we have the answer that prepares us for eternity. We pray for those here who do not have that answer. We pray for the salvation of their souls. And we pray, Lord, for wisdom in our walk, so that we may walk day by day with the consciousness that we are dying men and women, and that we are being prepared for eternity. And whatever meaning, enjoyment we have in this world, it must be enjoyed with the temper of one who is dying and one who is on his way to eternity. And therefore, we must live above all these things, live for our God, in obedience to God, in the fear of God. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.